Let's have a couple of Bible readings. The first one found in John chapter 10, if you'd please turn there. The Gospel of John chapter 10. I'd like to read from verse 7 to 14. Starting at verse 7, where we read, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." We'll leave it there, actually. Then if we turn over to Matthew chapter 5, when we look at the Beatitudes that we've been going through on a Sunday night, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at hunger and thirst after righteousness, verse 6, where it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." How about we start with a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your word. As Andrew explained, we are truly blessed to be able to have your word in our own language, to be able to read it, to hear it, to test it as it's preached. Lord, we have so many things provided for us. And Lord, we can easily grow lazy and, Lord, take for granted the blessings that we have. I pray that as we take this opportunity to just consider you this evening through your word, that, Lord, we would use it wisely, that we may think upon you and leave the distractions of this world behind and give you our complete attention for this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, looked at that beatitude, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Often we don't hunger and thirst the way that we should because we are poisoning ourselves with sin, or we've been poisoned by others through their sin. Or we're just so full of worldly things that we just don't have an appetite for the things of God. But tonight I want to look at not so much the person, but the promise that God gives to those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because he says, they shall be filled. They shall be filled. The word "filled" there means to gorge oneself. It means to supply food in abundance. And it's often used in the fattening of animals. You want to fatten up a calf? Well, you just supply an abundant amount of food so they are fattened up. And so to be filled in this way really means that you are filled to the point where you are completely satisfied. You are not interested in anything else. You know, I just had a perfect example of that today after fellowship lunch and a lovely dessert time. I went in and started wiping up in the kitchen, and it's amazing of how many yummy desserts come back. And they're just sitting there. And if that was prior to eating, I would have enjoyed many of those things that came back. But as I was completely full, I looked at them and I didn't even want to eat them. All right, I was filled. And that's what it's talking about here, where Jesus says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you seek me. You seek me in the word. You set your affections on things above. And I am the source of all your joy and desire. You will be so filled that when Satan comes and offers you things, there's the temptations from the world, you'll go, no thanks, I am full with Christ, it doesn't even interest me. Wouldn't it be good to be that full in righteousness that the things of the world, the sinful things, even worldly things, don't even seem to spark an appetite because you are filled with the Lord? Well, this is what he's talking about. You will want no more, or you will not go wanting. And there's a psalm that David has that basically says the same thing. If you turn over to Psalm 23. In Psalm 23 in verse 1, it says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so he says here, because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not go wanting. I will not go without anything. And what Psalm 23 actually does is explain to us what it means to be filled when we seek the Lord. You can look at it. There's various ways to explain the same thing. You can seek after the Lord and hunger and thirst for him. Or another way of explaining it is, he is our shepherd and we're following him. And we set our eyes on him and we'll go wherever our shepherd takes us. Same thing. Setting our affections on things above, not on the things of earth. You can explain it in many ways. But David shows us what it is to be filled and to have the Lord supplying everything to the point where you will not go wanting. In our Bible reading, we read how Jesus said that he's the good shepherd. And he says these wonderful words in verse 10 of John 10. He says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He has come to give us an abundant life. Now, that would make a good name for a church, wouldn't it? Abundant life. Someone stole it, I guess. But that's what Jesus has said. He will come to give us an abundant life. And when Jesus is our shepherd and we are hungering and thirsting after him, where we seek him, we can enjoy that abundant life that Jesus mentions here in John chapter 10, verse 10. And to explain what it means to be filled when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, what I would like to do is consider Psalm 23. So we're going to go from the New Testament and we're going to go back and see how it is explained already to us in the Old Testament. Because we find 10 things that are ours when Jesus is our shepherd, but we are following him. He can be our shepherd and we can go astray. We miss out on these things. But when we are seeking our shepherd, when we are hungering and thirsting after him, we're told here that there are 10 things that are ours as his sheep. Now, there are two ways you can approach this. Very similar to how you approach a pack of Tim Tams. You can get a pack of Tim Tams and you can gorge them all down at once and eat them all before the kids get home so you don't have to share them. That's one way of doing it. You just don't get to enjoy every single Tim Tam when you do it that way. Or you can eat a few, hide them somewhere, and then go back the next day and eat a few more and do it slowly, and you get to enjoy them a little bit more. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to look at 3 Tim Tams tonight, if we want to look at it like that, and then we'll gobble down the rest next time. And so let's see what a life that is full is like. A life that what Jesus says, if you follow me and seek after me, this is what I will do for you. First thing we see is found in verse 2, and two things are explained to us here. The first one is how the Lord will provide rest and peace to us. And he explains this picture of rest and peace by showing two pictures of what a shepherd will do for his sheep. But they have the same concept of peace and rest. Have a look there in verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, in the dry, hot, rough land of Palestine, one of the most peaceful pictures would have to be sheep lying down on thick, lush, green grass. Everything else is dead, and they're just sitting there relaxing on this beautiful, green, lush grass. You know, they're not scavenging for blades of grass like many sheep have to do in our land. They were surrounded by the pastures and could just sit down and enjoy it. You know, that's a picture of contentment and peace. Not wondering where food's going to come next, but just a picture of peace. And we're given that idea in regards to peace and contentment. He also gives us another picture of this where he says, he leadeth me beside still waters. Now, from what I've read, not from what I've observed, I know I'm a shepherd now, and I have 6 sheep, all right? I haven't observed this, but what I have read is that sheep don't like drinking from fast-moving water. The reason being, if they fall in, their wool acts like a sponge and weighs them down, and they sink and they drown. So they prefer to have water from drink water from shallow streams or pools of water that aren't moving. Now, sometimes in Palestine that was hard because there were the rivers running quite rapidly. And so when that was the case, the shepherd would actually want to keep them safe so they can go and drink of that water with peace and contentment, and he would make like a little dam out of rocks or sand or other things and divert the water so they could still go and drink of the water in peace and security. And these still waters that we have a picture of here, going and lapping up the water and not having to fear what's around you, or sitting on the green pastures and not having to worry about food or anything, is a picture of peace and contentment for the believer. That's what David was trying to explain that he had in the Lord as his shepherd. That's something for us. You know, we have the privilege of being able to sit by that stream of God's word and lap it up. You know, wouldn't it be terrible to live in a day when you couldn't read the Bible because it wasn't in your language? You had to come here and believe that I'm telling you that this is what it says and so on. And you can't check it or read it for yourself. And the sad thing is, they weren't telling the truth back then either. I was saying you get saved through the church, and unless you confess and give money to me, well then you won't get to heaven. So they were being taught the wrong thing in those dark ages. But your quiet time should be a place where you can sit, relax, and drink from God's word. It shouldn't be something fast where you take a dip, quick drink, and off you go. It should be something you can drink in and allow God to speak to you. You know, coming to a church, the whole reason, well, not the whole, but one of the reasons why God established a local church is so that we can come and be edified. Edified through the word, edified through each other, through the encouragement where we exhort one another daily. And a local church should be a place where we feel safe and we feel refreshed. It shouldn't be a place where we go home upset. It should be a place where we go home encouraged. Because there's not a lot of encouragement in the world. The world can be a very dry and dusty place. You're not going to be spiritually nourished when you go into the world and you work with the unsaved. And that's why you need to come to the Word of God and to the house of God and have that refreshment. Our hearts can get very anxious and dry otherwise. And the Lord wants us to follow Him and to trust Him. And so He leads us to those places. And God's word makes it clear His word is one of those places. His house is one of those places where we can be nourished and receive that contentment and refreshment. You know, we all go through sad times, we all go through hard times. But I tell you what, when you are saved and you are hungering and thirsting after God's word and seeking Him and trusting Him, there is a rich rest and peace that you can't get from anywhere else. And David said, I had this because the Lord was my shepherd. And so that's the first thing in regards to having the Lord as your shepherd and being full with the things of God. There is rest and peace. But with this same verse, there is another picture as well that we see here, and that is the Lord provides our needs. Same pictures, but there's a different application. Rest and peace, but also having our needs provided. There are two things mentioned here that are essential for sheep: green pastures and water. You know, without them they die. And the most important responsibility that a shepherd does have is to make sure that they get these two things. A good shepherd doesn't wake up in the morning, see that the sheep are hungry, but see it's cold. I think I'll just go back to bed. We'll wait for tomorrow, see if it's a warmer day for me to lead you to green pastures and to water. Now, he may be a shepherd, but he certainly is not a good shepherd. And we are told by the Lord Jesus himself, I am the good shepherd. He's not just the shepherd, he's the good one. He does everything perfectly right as a shepherd should. That's why he says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by who? Our shepherd. By Christ Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd because he supplies our needs. That's what he's promised us. And that's why he tells us to seek him so he can lead us. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 6, would you please? Another passage that speaks basically the same thing in a different way. We know Matthew 6, it says there in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Same principle. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, follow the good shepherd and seek him, or seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when we do that, what has Jesus promised? And all these things shall be added unto you. That's the promise Jesus makes. You seek me, and all these things shall be added. Now, what is he talking about? What will be added? Well, let's have a look at verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And he talks about this a couple of times. He says, you don't have to worry about where your food's coming from. Your Father understands you need food. You don't have to worry where your raiment is coming from. Your Father understands you have a need of that. And then so he says these things, and then he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you do this, your good shepherd will make sure all these things will be added unto you. Your shepherd knows what you need. He will supply your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You just need to follow him. So often, our mind can be cluttered with thoughts of money, thoughts of how can I afford this, or How can I get enough so I can feel secure enough so I don't have to worry, and so on. And because of this, we lose sight of our shepherd, who wants to be the one who supplies these things for us. You know, for many Christians, they get it completely the wrong way. They think, I will follow the Lord later, once I can get myself financially secure. Once I'm financially secure, I won't work so much. I'll be able to spend more time with Him. I'll be able to serve Him more. I'll be able to do all these things for Him. Then I'll follow. But Christ says, follow me first. That's all you have to worry about. And then me as the shepherd, I will worry about providing for you. And I can tell you throughout my life, I have had friends who have had far more good paying jobs than what I have ever had. Like 3-4 times more. Yet they seem to be so consumed with their work that the things of God are like the very last thing that they worry about. Yet I look at everything I have and I can't understand, it doesn't all add up. But I see how God has blessed. And I only put it down to God, where I can compare myself to some who are of the same age and I've known them for the same amount of time, but they seek to be rich or to be secure, and the things of God and serving Him just seem to take a backward, you know, that's the last thing they worry about. Yet I am far more richer in so many ways. Financially, as well as with my children and my family, everything. And I only put that down to one thing. God keeps His promises. You seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, Jesus says, follow me first, I supply your needs. Our flesh says, I'll supply my own needs and then I'll follow you. But brethren, the rest that Christ offers and the provision of our needs that He offers is only promised to those who seek Him as the shepherd, who hunger and thirst for Him. You know, notice it says there in verse 2, He leadeth me. You know, Jesus wants to lead all of His sheep, but we need to follow Him. That's the part that we have to play. He can lead all He wants, but we have to be willing to follow. Sheep do go astray. I'm really glad that the Lord is a better shepherd than me. As most of you know, we bought 7 sheep, and when I woke up the next morning, we had 6. And I said to Linda, oh, it only cost $50, who cares? I don't know where it is, I couldn't be bothered. She was a good shepherd, she went looking everywhere for it. I sort of feel guilty and ended up looking, but we never found the thing. It's gone. All right. Thankfully, the Lord isn't like that. When we stray, He comes looking. And as a good shepherd, He tries to get us back. You know, He says there in that Gospel of John, chapter 10, this is the reason why He comes looking. In verse 10 it says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, we have an enemy of our soul who wants to destroy everything good that we can enjoy. And stray sheep put themselves in a very dangerous place. And we may think we're so clever with what we've done and achieved without the Lord even. But often we don't realize how foolish we have been. I remember as a young fella working in Deniliquin, and there was a place on my boss's farm. It was cut off by the canal, water canal, and it was just this little corner. And we never went there for anything. And we had to go there, I don't know for what reason, but we went over there and there was this sheep. And it had a huge, big tail. So it was probably there from very young and it was huge. It had not ever been shorn or anything. And I'm suspecting it's gone astray. And it probably thought it was doing well until we found it. We had great pleasure catching it, and we had great pleasure in killing it too. But it reminded me of that verse, there is a way that seemeth right unto sheep, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Often we can be like that sheep, thinking we've done so well, but the enemy is just around the corner. Our shepherd knows this far too well, and he knows we have an enemy of our soul. And so when we go astray, one of the beautiful things of having a shepherd like him is, he says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. That means he brings us back. You know, when I got right with the Lord as a teenager, apart from promising the Lord I'll do whatever he wants, I'll be whatever he wants, I'll go wherever he wants, I asked the Lord, Lord, even if I let go of you, please never let go of me. And you know, that's been something I have experienced through my life. I've wandered in my mind, in my heart. I've even wandered in my body at times. But praise God, the Lord has always been there to bring me back. And that's one of the blessings of having the Lord Jesus as our shepherd. He brings the stray sheep back. You know, I read of how a good shepherd would act in the days of Christ. If there was a sheep that kept going astray, to keep them or help them to learn not to go astray, what he would do is he would take that sheep and he'd get his rod and break the front leg. And then he would put a splint. That's what I got written down here, a splint. Put a splint on that sheep, and then the sheep would have to hobble and stay very close to the shepherd, because when there was a hill, it needed the shepherd to pick it up and carry it up the hill. When there was a river, it needed the shepherd to carry it across. It stayed very close because it realized how much it needed the shepherd then. And it learned to be so close and rely on that shepherd. You know, that's one of the blessings of having a good shepherd. He does sometimes even take that rod and he breaks our leg, so to speak, and he puts that splint on us and he makes it so that we really need him. Now, that's not enjoyable. It's not the first choice of the shepherd. But that's what a good one does. You know, that's why the Lord tells us in Hebrews, despise not the chastening of the Lord. It's a sign that he truly is a good shepherd and loves us. And these are three things that are for us who follow the Lord and hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, he's been a good shepherd to me. And three ways how he has been a good shepherd is he has given me peace and rest that I would never have had in this life otherwise. He has provided for me in ways that I cannot begin to imagine he would have. And he's also restored me when I've strayed. That's a good shepherd. And one we should seek after daily. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our Saviour, who is that tender shepherd who leads us. He is the good shepherd we can trust. I pray that we would stay close to him. Seek him, seek his word, delight ourselves in him, that he may be the source of our joy, that we may be so full of the things of God and our Saviour that, Lord, the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.